Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Hey, it's Majority Thursday, and the majority is
gone.
Lit.
They've gone home, yeah.
They have gotten out of here. How about this weather? Now, we need to report to you on the weather. Very windy, getting colder. Could have snow in the mountains if you're driving. And the forecast is for, we're going to get pounded. Severe weather alerts, flood warnings, high wind warnings, all of that will be in effect from 9 until midnight tonight. Winds gusting to over 50 miles an hour.
I just got an email.
Careful.
I just got an email about floating the river, and all it says is no.
Who thought it would be a good idea?
I don't know, but you know, just in case you did, they sent out a notice that says, yeah. Just says basically don't.
I said the Schneider family picnic and Boise River float has been postponed until further notice.
Yeah, as opposed to just moved indoors.
Yeah. You can't float the river indoors.
That's true. You can take a bath.
Kimberly Crucy covers the Idaho legislature for the Associated Press. And she has a rather lengthy rundown on what happened this year at the legislative session. And then what was addressed and basically what was not addressed.
Right.
And it's pretty pretty long list. A look at some of the key issues addressed this year: taxes. Legislative leadership kicked off the session with hopes of slashing Idaho's top income and corporate tax rates. However, that dream got hijacked by unhappy lawmakers. Fed up with being ignored by the State House top leaders who successfully turned the proposal into repealing the 6% sales tax on groceries. Governor Butch Otter expected to veto the bill, likely leaving Idahoans with no tax relief.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And that sounds about right. I do expect he will veto that.
People were described last night.
Despite the fact 68% or whatever like it.
Right. Last night, people were describing the last few hours of the legislative session as an anticlimax.
Yeah. What's your governor to do?
If he likes it, you know, pass it or sign it. If you don't like it, veto it, I suppose.
Well, yeah, but people are saying, well, nearly 70%. The people in the state think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they think it's a good idea because it's going to be basically a tax cut for them, right?
I imagine so, yeah.
And the governor's going...
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Ask yourself, do I buy groceries?
Yeah.
Do I eat food?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes...
And we've had some...
You don't have all your meals in a cafe.
Some pretty passionate support of this bill and some, obviously...
right.
Embellished reasons for it. But the governor says we need X amount of dollars to operate
exactly.
this state.
And that's the
Where's it going to come from?
That's the biggest problem. They love to pass tax relief, but they also, you know, love to assign money to be spent.
Let's fix these roads.
And those two things are kind of
with what?
Diametrically opposed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So taxes. Once again, this is Kimberly Crucy on AP.
Mm-hmm.
A long, harsh winter destroyed Idaho's roads, some of them, and wiped out several already crumbling bridges, some of them.
Well, which it turned out to be almost a good thing because it prompted them to finally try to do something for the roads.
No question. Lawmakers knew they had to find a way to repair and rebuild the state's aging infrastructure, but wasn't until the final days of the session they were able to push through a roughly $320 million transportation plan. The plan is primarily to pay for new road projects with bonds that would be repaid with future federal highway payments, Garvey bonds.
Sure.
The plan also includes allowing leftover state general funds to be used for transportation projects and funneling 1% of the state sales tax revenue to other road projects.
A lot of leftover money in Idaho is, I mean, let's put it this way. A lot of people think that it should just be saved as like a rainy day fund. But I think the rainy days have come and gone. There's one today,
look
in
outside,
fact.
Yeah.
And they also messed up the roads. And so we do actually have an emergency. Might not be the most dire emergency, but, you know, soon I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, prompted by rainy and snowy days.
Yeah, exactly.
On top of all this, state budget writers also funneled $52 million in emergency transportation funding to help pay for the damage Mother Nature wrecked across the state of Idaho.
Mm-hmm. So, because we cannot deport her.
Yeah. Idaho is one of those big states, small population, and it makes it hard to pay for stuff.
Exactly.
KBOI News Time, 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Thursday morning. Legislative session, signee die yesterday. So they're out of town, and we're talking about what they did and didn't accomplish.
Starting with what they did.
Starting with what they did and didn't in taxes. Did and didn't in transportation. Although transportation, truthfully, mostly did. Now, what else have we got?
Interestingly enough, sign language.
What?
2 years ago, the governor, Butch Otter, vetoed a proposal that would have required sign language interpreters to have a professional license and to get that from a state board.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're going to hire yourself out as an interpreter for the deaf and do sign language, you needed to have a license. That's what I guess most hearing impaired people wanted. The action was a blow to the deaf community, who spent the next 2 years pleading with lawmakers that unqualified interpreters have caused miscommunication in important situations, like in emergency rooms and in legal proceedings, which, you know, is bad.
Yeah.
That led to a new version that not only once again won over the legislature this year, but this time was promised to win the governor's signature. Attempting or offering to interpret sign language without a license is now a misdemeanor. I think only if you're getting paid for it. Like if you want to interpret for somebody on the street, you know, I guess you do so at your own risk.
But I like this, and just because of what it said.
Yeah.
Miscommunications.
It's another job that in order to get paid for it, you now have to be good at it.
Yeah, and it would be nice, especially in emergency situations.
Right. Let's see. What's alcohol and?
Nudity.
Or nudity, as we
say. Yeah, as my old friend from college used to say, I had a lot of nudity in that film.
Mm-hmm. After being hit with a lawsuit last year, Idaho's conservatively dominant state house begrudgingly approved legislation repealing the ban on nudity and explicit live performances at certain businesses licensed to serve alcohol. The proposal is part of a legal settlement between the American Civil Liberties Union of Idaho, who for some reason took this up.
Yeah, they are the ALCU.
They do tend to be rather selective at times. And the state attorney general's office, the exemption requires that such performances would have to be held at venues like a theater, concert hall, or some other form of business that does not primarily derive its income from explicit live adult entertainment. That means businesses like strip clubs would still be banned from serving alcohol. Yet in a legislature where many are Mormon, lawmakers made sure to include a footnote in the bill stating that crime increases and property values depreciate when alcohol is involved around sexually charged entertainment. Like, for instance, I don't think I'd want it across the street from me.
No. A lot of times, though, these lawmakers, and Lord knows I'm not standing up for strip clubs.
Yeah, I don't have any interest either. That.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's I'm too cheap to go to places where they jack up prices.
More power to them, you know.
When historical racing was at Lebois Park, a lot of the aforementioned lawmakers said that at 2 o'clock on Friday night or Saturday morning, and early Sunday morning, there would be gambling and people fist fights and gunplay. Mm-hmm. And
don't forget debauchery.
And debauchery.
Right.
And there was none of that.
Oh, good.
So, you know, but still.
Right.
They make the point. In a rare move.
But like, for instance, if a play comes to town, you know, like a Broadway play.
Yeah.
And it has nudity in it. And,
hair.
And it's playing somewhere where you can buy beer.
Does hair have nudity in it?
The musical Hair did have nudity in it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It had a lot. Like, or O Calcutta, maybe.
Yeah.
If those come to town and they are playing in a theater that normally serves beer, the theater can apparently continue to serve beer. But if
like
you
the
go,
Morrison
but
Center.
If you go to a strip club and people are getting naked, you cannot have beer.
Yeah.
I don't even know how naked they get, but...
It's Idaho.
Whatever it is.
They keep their boots on. In a rare move, the Idaho legislators... Only action regarding abortion was to
still be okay with that.
Slightly loosen restrictions rather than tighten.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, a federal judge agreed to give the Idaho legislature time to repeal two laws which banned women from receiving abortion-inducing medication through telemedicine.
Okay, so you can't you know. Get it? You can't get abortion-inducing medication through the mail by
right.
ordering it either over the phone or through the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
Those laws would have been deemed unconstitutional if lawmakers hadn't taken them off the books this session.
Okay. Oh, say,
and that happens a lot.
So now you can get your medication any way you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
They took the laws off the books. So now you can...
Well, they had threats that people were going to take them to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court's already ruled on this sort of thing.
Yeah. So the laws banned women from receiving the medication.
And
those laws were taken off.
They've now been repealed.
Yeah.
How about fish and game fees? For the first time since 2004, the Department of Fish and Game will see a fee increase. Agency officials have warned lawmakers for years that they've had to cut services and live on a shoestring budget because revenue from licenses and tags and permits has not been enough to cover operational costs. But the fees are going to increase 20% starting in 2018.
We'll be back talking more legislature after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI. KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris, we are back. Talking about the legislature, we've kind of gone through what has happened and what hasn't happened or didn't happen in the legislature. Talked about taxes. Taxes were kind of ignored up until the 6% sales tax on groceries. Both houses or both arms of the legislature said overwhelmingly, yeah, let's get rid of that on groceries. But the governor is supposed to veto that, so we'll have to stop and see how that works out.
Quite an argument, and we've had an argument here as well on this station about civil asset forfeiture.
Mm-hmm.
Lawmakers agreed to change laws regarding when police can take a citizen's property, despite warnings from critics that doing so means the legislature is softening its stance on crime. Or it could be looked at this way: they're expanding their stance on civil rights.
Yeah.
The legislation would forbid police officers from seizing cash or property simply because it was in close proximity to an illegal substance.
Yeah, say you had some cocaine in your jockey box and an envelope with $5,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, they would take them both.
The cocaine is illegal. The $5,000 might not be illegal.
Yeah.
It would also ban seizing vehicles unless they are in connection with trafficking offenses, while creating reporting requirements for law enforcement agencies on forfeited property. Currently, the way the law stands, a person doesn't need to be charged with a crime in order to have the police take away their property.
And sometimes it's not easy to get back.
Yeah, and that, I have to admit, that doesn't seem right based on the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
like illegal search and seizure.
Right.
Okay, we didn't do an illegal search, but yeah, that was
we probably did an illegal seizure. Do some seizure.
Seizing.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how all of this comes out. That I think that's a good law. The fish and game fees, which we talked about, Butch Otter's already signed that, the governor. Basically 20% increase.
Well, and again, that's more of a user fee than it is just a tax.
Yeah, what about transportation?
However, when you're having to pay it, it doesn't make a lot of difference.
Should they have looked to an increase in gasoline fees, an increase in...
Well, as a person who has a car, I'm going to say
licenses.
No.
Yeah, you know, here's one of the catch-22s, if you will. I got a car. I just bought a new car because my old car got wrecked, right?
Right. You were T-boned at an intersection, which is about a block from here.
Yeah. And so I had a car before the one that got wrecked that got 17 miles to the gallon in town, which I thought was pretty good. It got almost 30 on the highway. It was a little Hyundai. And then I got my Honda Cross Tour, which got about 19 gallons, miles to the gallon in town, and about 27. It was a bigger, heavier car on the road. So now I've gotten a Honda CR-V, and I'm not promoting Hondas. I'm just trying to show you.
Well, you're not.
That gets 20.
You're not promoting Hondas because they are good. Yeah.
Which gets 25 and a half miles to the gallon in town and 31.2 miles to the gallon on the highway. So here's where the problem comes in with the miles driven, all of that stuff. You know, the car I have now uses far less gasoline to go the same distance as
your previous car,
my previous car, and way more than my two cars ago. So even though I may be driving more now, I'm paying a lot less in gasoline tax, et cetera, et cetera. And that has been the basically motivation of the government and the car industry and all that, is to get that MPH up, you know, or MPG up, get the miles per gallon up.
Right.
And so when you do that, you end up screwing the state you're driving in because you're not paying as much as you used to per mile driven. So it's kind of a quandary. So if they raise, you know, I don't know how much you'd raise it, 2 cents a gallon, 6 cents a gallon, whatever, you're still not going to raise as much money as it would seem like you would at first blush.
Yeah, good point.
So How do you do it? Licensing? When you charge more for licenses? Charge more for trucks driving through the state?
There are people who have said that if you get rid of the 6% grocery tax,
right?
You know, food, you know, if you're buying groceries, if you're buying food, you don't pay the tax on it. You do pay tax in the grocery store on non-food items, but not the food items. If the governor signs that, then we, in some way, would need to make up some of that money that'll be lost.
And what did we hear that was?
The state. Well, like, and somebody said, well, they're probably just going to make the sales tax on everything else 7%. But they didn't.
No, they didn't at all.
But then again, the governor also probably isn't going to sign that bill.
No, not going to sign that. Plus, it would take away how many millions? Hundreds? $150 million, something like that?
Yeah.
Isn't that what I heard? $150 million in tax income to the state. How are you going to replace that? So, I don't know. And the tax that on your income tax, how much was that? How much you get back, the grocery tax? It's like $25 a head or something like that.
Yeah, like we
That's
got,
nothing.
Like we got like $75 for the whole year last
year. Exactly. And if you... take the 6% on the food you buy, that's gone in, what, 6 weeks? A month?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We are going to need to go to a break. Now, after we come back from the break, We've been talking about what the legislature accomplished.
Did. Yeah, what they did.
What they did. I've got a little bit from a speech yesterday given partially by Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett and also House Minority Leader Matt Erpelding that kind of tells what the legislature didn't do.
And they are Democrats.
Yes, they are. Hmm. And that's
funny how that works.
That's why they're pointing it out.
9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, Drew, we've kind of shined the spotlight on what's happened in the legislature. We're going to take a look at what's going, what didn't happen.
Our code word.
But first, we have to give our code word. Rain.
Yes.
R-A-Y-N-E.
No.
Rainy.
R-A-I-N. Very simple. R-A-I-N.
I know. Rain. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the streets of Boise this
morning. At the moment, yeah.
R-A-I-N. Go to 6-7, go to KBOI.com and enter rain, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Ladies and gentlemen.
The rain from LeGrand.
Chris Walton.
Falls mainly in Boise at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just say LeGrand because that's it looks like where it came from, or Baker, I guess. I'll read you some of what Matt Erpelding, who is the House Minority Leader.
You're fired.
Democrat. And Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett, what they both said yesterday. And essentially, every year, at the end of the session, the minority party puts out a press release that usually complains because...
We were ignored.
The minority party generally doesn't get what they want, and that's just all there is to that.
Yeah.
And
which I would do, which anyone would do. That.
Yeah. In the hours,
their prerogative.
They said, in the hours after Governor Otter finished his plea to the legislature for moderate policies, we immediately started working on addressing issues that affect the majority of Idahoans. We made clear that our goal was to measure our votes based on three simple questions. Will it improve our education system? Will it improve our economy? And will it maintain our quality of life? I am proud to say that the minority has upheld their end of the bargain by passing important legislation and holding the majority accountable. It is clear to me and our constituents that we represent the moderate middle that Idaho needs and wants. While the majority now, and see, that's Democrats trying to tell people, hey, we're actually in the middle. You know, we're not way over at the left. While the majority wasted time fighting each other like children on a playground, they also brought legislation that was not beneficial to Idahoans.
There were a lot of inter-party squabbles, no question about that.
Yeah, it's just like, well, the way Congress is right now, too.
See.
Idaho Democrats work together for everyone, and we will continue to fight to do what is best for Idahoans from Bonner's Ferry all the way to Owyhee and Bear Lake. Once again, the majority kicked the can down the road, and this time they only have themselves to blame. Roughly 78,000 Idahoans, 12% of which are veterans, live without health insurance. Idaho Democrats tried on three separate occasions to pass legislation expanding Medicaid.
And it was basically a non-factor.
Yeah.
It was just kind of ignored.
They go on, there is no more time to wait. If we are willing to accept a $300 million loan from the federal government to address transportation in Idaho, we shouldn't have to think twice about an investment that actually saves Idaho millions of dollars and saves lives. As the leaders of Idaho's middle ground, we have always made education a top priority. And this notice, by the way, they reemphasized that just immediately. Mm-hmm. Middle ground. We have always made education a top priority. And this session was no different as we made improvements that will benefit Idaho's students and teachers. Our relentless approach in support of education has turned the majority into followers on this issue, and we are happy to lead. From the middle, we worked across the aisle to bring civil asset forfeiture, something that Representative Ilana Rubel led the charge on, because we know that protecting due process rights is something Idahoans hold dear, and we just talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
So they're happy about that one. Representative Wintrow is leading the charge to ensure victims receive the protections they deserve and that law enforcement treats them with the utmost respect. Rather than chasing shadows or irrational fears, we recognize the real threat to our state. We work tirelessly for policies that protect our waterways and prevent the introduction of invasive species in Idaho.
Yep.
Our leadership led to the passage of multiple bills. And, of course, I think everybody wanted that. Everybody wanted to keep those
muscles, quagga muscles.
Yeah, quagga muscles from coming into Idaho attached to motorboats.
Yeah, and they found, a couple of weeks ago, they found live ones on a boat.
Yeah.
So it's no joke.
Finally, we secured substantial funding for safe routes to school, which will help modernize sidewalks and pedestrian crossings from Caldwell to Potlatch and many places in between, something we have been advocating for since 2014. I did not know that Potlatch needed pedestrian crossings, but now I do.
You know what? From my house to my daughter's school, Roosevelt, her grade school,
yeah,
there aren't sidewalks all the way.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I could go on and on about the bills the Republicans carried that harmed our education system, our economy, and threatened our quality of life. I'm reading, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Bills like the one exempting communications between legislators and special interests from public records requests, the odd Sharia law bill, or the anti-migrant worker bill. But here is the thing. Our unrelenting pressure and renewed public involvement stopped those bills. As leaders of the moderate middle, we steered the conversation to more reasonable ideas like Representative Highclock's resolution recognizing the contributions of immigrants to our nation. He was very proud of that when he was in here a couple
of
weeks
ago. Well, his dad was, you know,
They came from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We also played an essential role in deciding many important votes on the floor and in committee. Without the power of the Idaho Democrats, children who have been plagued by emotional disturbances would not be eligible for medical assistance provided by health and welfare. Lastly, Idaho House Democrats were the key committee votes that ensured citizens the most important oil and gas reforms the state has ever seen. Our votes were necessary to protect our groundwater, our private property rights, and open the industry to transparency.
Yeah, for which I thank you.
Which was also not mentioned in the previous article we read.
Yeah. All right, KBOI News Time is 9:25. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. We'll be back with your phone calls after these words.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. Still raining very hard out. The wind is kind of abated a little bit. Temperature continues to plummet. Governor Otter, by the way, will have a news conference, press conference, this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
probably
he'll be joined by some legislative leaders to basically talk about what we've been talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Just wrapping it all up.
Yep. So that'll be covered by many. All right, let's go to the phone. Gary's been hanging on for a while. And see what's on his mind this morning. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
Great to talk to you guys. Two things that I'd like to cover that were in that little article that Chris read. One, the veterans who they said are not covered in health care. President Trump and the Republicans said that they're going to address health care. In fact, in the budget that's proposed, although they take money away from the EPA and different things like that, they add money to both the military and to the VA. Now, they've also said for those veterans who can't get to the VA, they're going to introduce vouchers so that if they can't get to the VA, they can get health care through vouchers at local dispensaries of healthcare, hospitals, doctors, etc. So that answers that one thing. The other thing about the $300 million, I believe it, is it million or billion?
For the state of Idaho, I'm going to go with million.
Yeah, on the roads, that's million.
Right. Well, there was just an advertisement or whatever in the last break where a nice lady was talking about just Ada County and I think an adjoining county by themselves are $250 million shy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that $300 million won't go very far if $250 million of it are going to Ada County. I mean, that's going to live. I live in Jim County. That's going to leave us out. Basically, I mean, $50 million for the rest of the state. Pocatello's not going to get much. Moscow's not going to get much. You know what I'm saying? That's
well. I think the target is not Ada County, but Canyon County.
Which would be the aforementioned adjoining county.
Adjoining county, yeah, which is, I mean, that road, I know there's not that many people that live in Canyon County per amount of money being spent, but if you're moving goods across the state of Idaho, you're going to go through that thing, and it's just getting worse and worse. Something obviously has to be done.
Well, the thing about the federal monies, you know, they're talking about, and it's likely that there's going to be a multi-billion dollar transportation bill passed by the federal government. Of course, that's going to be focused on roads like interstates that the federal government has to do with. Also, airports, which includes Boise, I'm sure. But that is the money that's going to take care of a lot of things. I don't know how much of that will be block granted out to the states to do individual state highways.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you saying we should wait until that happens?
I don't know, but sometimes if you can see something coming, it's good to be prepared financially for it. And rather than worry about spending money that we don't have. Unfortunately, I drive the roads too, and I understand that they're in sore need of repair.
That stretch of the interstate is absolutely ridiculous. We're lucky we haven't had 50 people killed out there.
True. So hopefully, and I have all confidence that the infrastructure bill is going to be coming through, and that portion of roads in Idaho that have any part of federal jurisdiction will probably be repaired at least. Now, no matter how you go about it,
I just don't think we can wait.
Well, it's you know, even if you put it out for bid, probably it's going to take a while to get to it. I mean, how long did it take for them to widen the freeway 80 west?
Well, what are they saying? What are they saying, Chris? That the time that this stretch of road is going to be done is like 12 years from
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's a long
time. It's like 12
right.
years.
Right, so 6 months one way or the other is not going to be a great difference if you look at the actual time it takes to repair it. Now, I'm not for putting things off, but at some point you have to prioritize. If we don't have the money in the state, this state constitutionally doesn't allow to run a deficit, and the, right. And that advertisement said, well, it's only the equivalent of one specialty coffee a day. Well, I don't want to put coffee shops out of business, A. And B, I only get one or two specialty coffees in a week's time. It's a luxury to me.
Yeah, I don't even
most
get
of the time,
that many.
I'm shopping for the cheapest Folgers I can get at the store for my mm-hmm. percolator. You know what I'm saying? So I don't live in those counties, but still that's a bunch of tax expense.
Yep.
And people really don't have a whole lot of extra money anywhere, but especially in Idaho. So when there's tax relief, that's real important to a lot of us.
All right. Thanks, Gary. We're out of time. So he's concerned about, as is everybody, spending money we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's funny how government works. Our Constitution does not allow us to go in debt.
Our state Constitution.
State Constitution.
U.S. Constitution is relatively silent about it.
Yeah. And I don't know. Is this going into debt or not? All right. We got a couple of weather things here, Chris, as we go to the break. Huge snowflakes, apparently, are falling in Meridian. The size extra large pizzas. Well, that's a big snowflake.
Well, I've stopped thinking about snow since you said that.
Yeah, no, they're not that big, but very huge.
We were just supposed to get rain.
And also,
snow was the thing we had before.
Also, lots of standing water on eastbound Interstate 84 near Eagle Road. So if you are eastbound on the freeway,
if the thought of hydroplaning makes you
near Eagle Road, be careful.
A little timid, I would slow down.
What do you call I-84 connector?
Yeah,
the connector is the worst road when wet of any road in the state of Idaho. That it, the, like a, like the, it holds water.
Oh, like the slipperiest.
It's unbelievable. Mm. It's unbelievable. I mean, you get just a little spit of rain, and that thing's got 2 feet of water on it. Okay, not that much. But it's not good when
it
rains.
It should have been designed more like a colander.
Yeah, and less like a flume. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Yeah, we keep getting these calls on the weather. Whiteout conditions in Cuna. Now, there goes my planned afternoon in Cuna fun trip today.
Okay.
And also inches of slush.
Nobody said snow. I heard rain. I heard wind. Actually, said snow.
Actually, they kind of have.
Yeah. I mean, now they have, but yesterday nobody said it.
3 to 4 inches of slush at Horseshoe Bend. Standing water on eastbound Interstate 84 near Eagle Road. And major snowflakes in Meridian. All right. Oh, we have phone calls.
Yeah, we do.
Sitting here looking at you and you're...
Sorry about that.
Sitting there looking at me.
You said snowflakes and I started thinking of Congress again. So go ahead.
Let's go to Rich Boise. Rich, good morning.
Hey, I just had to reply on Gary's call. I don't think he has a clue what he's talking about. The money that Idaho needs and the money that's going to come from the federal government probably would pay for the interstate, but the money that Idaho needs is for Idaho highways, not federal highways. And I don't know, and this stimulus program, and that's what it is that Trump is planning, it's not going to take care of, I mean, our share of it is not going to be $300 or $400 million, I guarantee you that. It's, you know, and a lot of it was private money, which was like toll roads and stuff. But we don't even know what he's counting on Trump's stimulus plan. We don't even know what it is, for one thing.
Exactly.
And we don't know if it's, not only that, we don't know if it's going to pass. But we don't even know what it is. We don't know anything about it at all. That's kind of a lot to bank on, the help from the federal government, which he's always against federal government help most of the time, but this time he's not. I don't know what the criteria is when it's okay and when it's not.
I don't know. I think we don't like federal regulations, but we do enjoy a check now and then.
Yeah, we got to pay it all.
The $320 million transportation plan is to pay for roads with bonds, Garvey bonds, obviously, that would be repaid with future federal highway payments. And is basically...
Doesn't future payments always sound...
To fix Interstate 84 going through Canyon County.
Doesn't future payments always sound kind of ominous?
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe they'll be here? Maybe they won't.
That's what Rich is saying.
That's just it. We don't know what they're going to be or what we're going to need. I mean, the stimulus bill, Idaho was $200 million behind on our roads and bridges once, and the stimulus package that Obama passed, that sort of bailed us out on some of that, but then we just still keep getting behind because we don't stay current. We just can't keep relying on the federal government to bail us out things get so bad.
Unfortunately, we got a lot of roads and not very many people to pay for them.
Yeah, that is our problem.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge problem. All right, thanks, Rich. And he's right. And it's tough. Yeah. Let's go to Steve.
Okay.
Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
You know, government will never stop growing, and they keep adding and adding and adding to what they want to do, and that's what the legislature does. They have all these people that come in and say, we need to do this, we need to do this. Well, you know what? The bus is a prime example. I mean, we're spending, 10 years ago, it was $18 million that we subsidized the bus. If that bus won't pay its own way, get rid of it. And the same way with so many other government programs. I understand welfare and helping people, But when you make them dependent on you, and that's what we do with a lot of our programs, is we make people dependent on the program. That seems to be the precursor for government, is dependence. It's the independence that I celebrate in this country, not the dependence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the charity should come from us, you and me and the rest of us,
well,
not
to
the government.
To a certain extent, though, I mean, we do pay federal taxes, so whenever the feds want to give us money, I usually don't turn it down.
Well, exactly. But you know what? They always have strings attached.
Well, yeah,
and
that's
therein
true.
Lies the problem. You know, when they start putting those strings in, you can't cut your costs because of the wage mm-hmm. and benefit program. You know, I thought when the computer came out, it was going to resolve a lot of our personnel issues and we could have less people. Wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
funny how that works.
I'm sure it might by the year 2117.
Yeah.
We have never gotten efficiency from our government. And,
no.
You know, it's the capitalism which leads to profitability, which leads to efficiency. And I would like to see more public and private cooperation rather than fighting each other.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your call. The thing about the buses,
mm-hmm.
and he calls it a subsidy, but buses, in my mind, are necessary. Call them a necessary evil if you want, but if you live on the bench and work downtown and can't afford a car or gasoline or whatever,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to get to your job?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I mean,
most places,
and
love
it's not charity. These people,
yeah, exactly.
Some people need to ride the bus. Not everybody has two cars.
You do pay taxes.
Exactly.
We've got just less than a minute left here, and I've got
snowing at Cole and Amity, by the way.
Several instant messages, and I'm going to save a bunch of them for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Open Phones Friday, and
sure.
We can have we can talk about anything. So we'll still have some of these subjects going on. I wanted to read this though because we had the story about the 5-year-old girl who was kicked out of kindergarten because she picked up a stick and pretended it was a gun.
Yeah.
Well, the disgruntled vet wrote in to say the parents should sue the school for having trees with gun-shaped branches.
I like the way you think, vet.
I think that's brilliant.
I like the way you think. It's 9:56. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow. And as Chris said, legislature's out of here. Hour and a half of open phones tomorrow right here.